Okay, Sumbani. Sumbani means number three. What number three? Yeah, the third problem of the pot. Okay, it's not a new kind of bathroom thing. All right. Okay. Nirka bupadang timachan sok mayinkyang. Perhaps you are a person who's not turned upside down, meaning you're not listening with your whole heart, right? And perhaps you're not a person with timachan, who is already, the vessel is already polluted with other motivations, lower motivations, okay? Mayinkyang, suppose you're not, but tildulna, but what do you call it? A hole opens up at the bottom of the pot, okay? You know, the pot gets a hole in it, okay? Tildulna, chujitsam lukyan, you can pour whatever wonderful things you want into that pot. Chungse kyang mi dupatar, but it won't stay there. You know, it'll just pour out onto the stove. Nawa lekpa teching, kuno la kyun chakpa mayin kyang. You may be listening with all your ears, and your motivation may be one which is free of faults. But tembe masuwa, dematatu jedu chupayin. But if you don't make an effort to remember the points, you will quickly forget them. Okay? That's a whole different skill, right? It's one skill to listen to a teaching. Like it's a skill to listen to music closely, right? And it's a skill to really listen to a teaching. By the way, when we talked about the zone, I was thinking what helps you get into the zone is that effort to apply the teaching to yourself immediately. It helps you stay in the zone. Otherwise, you get kind of bored or you get restless and you start becoming aware that your legs are sore or something like that, right? But if you're constantly listening and comparing it to your own state of being, you know, like he's talking about jealousy, you know, and I was jealous last week. And then you can stay with the teaching and you have fun and it helps you and you will remember afterwards, because you ran it through your mind. You weren't just listening like a radar thing. You know, you were processing it, and you were applying it to yourself. Then you can remember, okay? And if you don't, then you won't remember. There's a place in your meditative practice called, what is that called? Anyways, chumije means you will start to remember all the teachings you ever had. Okay, it's kind of cool. It's cool. First, you go through a stage where you can follow a thought back for like a week. You know, like right now, I'm thinking about my garden, and that's because I was thinking about the rose, and that's because someone handed me a rose, and you can follow it back. And then that becomes the ability to remember every teaching you ever heard. It's there. It's just not accessed, right? Yeah, it's all there in your mind. Then if your meditation gets good, you can recall it. And that's a Jorlam Su, I think. It's a second path. It happens on the second path. Okay, Jeda Chupin Shintu. Rang Re Mi Je Par Che Par Shintu Kayang Sa Che Dam Pe Cha Tabu Shik Tsa Wa Che Ne Di Te Du Dindra Sung Nyam Du Yang Yang Yi Du Shi Shar Che Gopa Yen. Rang Re Mi Je Par Che Par Shintu Kayang. Even if you're a person who has trouble remembering things, Sache Dam Pecha Tabu Shik Tsawa Chene, take a certain text or the outline of a certain text and commit it to memory. Learn one. My Tibetan teacher asked me to learn the Three Principal Paths, right? We translated it, the little book called The Principal Teachings of Buddhism, ACI course number one. So just learn that. It's very short, it's 14 verses. Try to memorize them if you can. If you cannot, at least memorize the outline, the stages that are presented, you know? And then you can use that as a guide to every other text you ever study, because then you can place what you learn in a certain format. You see what I mean? That's what he's saying. Satchikyan. Then every time you get a new teaching, you can say, oh, that fits into the outline there. the outline of my practice, that fits into impermanence, or that fits into shamatha practice, or that fits into how to serve a lama, and like that. You can place it in the outline. So at least learn one small one. She tsawan shin the dinasim yandu. Yang yang yi shao che gopayin. Then as you go through the teaching, and then as you walk around outside, right? That present moment thing, if you really get it, if you practice it for a few weeks, it's something strange happens. And you just start being present all the time. And I'm talking while you're eating and while you're walking, and then you have control over your mind. And you can say, let's review the third class now. And you can direct your mind to the third class, and you can tell it to go through the outline and tell it to go through all the points you learned in this week class. And this is while you're in the car. You're driving in the car, or you're eating, or anything. It's very beautiful. Part of Jetsun Kapa describes meditation as, in one text, as which is called his Nyam Gur. See, I'm fitting it into something I memorize. He says, you gain this high ability to direct your mind at will. Okay, I want to think of a great film idea, you know? I need something for scene number three. And you can tell your mind, let's go to scene three. And the mind will say, yes, sir. And then you say, let's examine, you know, that part where she comes in and he yells at her, yes, sir. And could we come up with a better idea? And then the mind is like your servant. And it's very beautiful. You can tell your mind to do things and it just does them. Okay? Kundu Shargopayin. This is fantastic. This is beautiful. This is one of the great things about this text, because it combines the classics with good, sensible instruction, advice. Okay, here's a good advice. Lakbar, especially, after the Dharma class has let out, you should sit around with your friends and talk about the class, okay? Like, that's what we require in Phoenix, right? Like, we ask people to go do homework together. So I'm asking you in this class, when you go to the cafeteria, at least tomorrow you can still talk, sit with people you don't know, okay? Like, sit down. Don't be shy, okay? You can say, I wouldn't normally do this, but Geshe Michael told us we had to. And sit next to somebody that you don't know, and say, where are you from? And, you know, what did you think about the class? You know, what struck you in your own life that you could use? And then share something with them, you know? And it creates a very interesting, and encourage that among your own students, okay? Don't let students, these five always hang out with each other, and these five always hang out. Set up circumstances where they have to interact. You know, force them to interact. And then there's a lot of people here from different countries and different places, and it'll be cool. You know, last time we taught the meditation poster, right? And then there were all these dangerous liaisons. There are all these cool, what do you call it? When two companies, not a merger, but a collaboration. There are all these cool collaborations. Like, somebody taught in Canada, the poster with somebody from Taiwan, and like that. And you can, don't just stay in your little well, you know. Tibetans say, don't stay like a frog in one well, you know. Like, go see the ocean. And sit down next to somebody from Argentina or from Taipei or from Bulgaria and, you know, say, get to know them, and then go there. And teach a class together, or something like that. And it's really fun. You can do stuff like that. Durki, sikshar che pa neche. Neche means crucial, right? We had in Tantra, do you remember Mama Hatha? Marma Hatha. Yeah, nednum, which means to strike the critical point in the inner body. Here he says neche. This is critical. He says it's critical that the students, disciples, talk with each other and get to know each other and sit down at a different table and say, what did you, you know, Let's talk about this class that we did yesterday. You know, this is my, I think a lot of it can be issues going on in your own life, right? I mean, that's the idea, right? So I have a trouble. I have trouble with my job, or I have trouble with my husband, or I have trouble. What do you think? How do you think I could apply that class? Or something like that. Bring up the stuff in your own life. Make it real, okay? But I think that's one of the most beautiful sentences in the whole text. Talk with each other and learn with each other. You have a choice, right? When you sit down with other people, you can talk about the latest movies, or you could talk about the long room, you know, and use the time. Okay? The movies fit in the tantric path. You'll get there. If you are able to avoid these three problems of the pot, this is even this giving up these three problems has even been described by Lord Buddha in the sutras. Okay, the Chomdende, the Bhagavan, said in the sutras, he asked his disciples, please listen closely. Like he started the sutra by saying, you know, please listen closely, and then I will speak. So before he said anything, he said, you know, please listen closely. Nenden sumbayin. Deyan lepa nyamba ni nyo tima chengi kyun pongwa dang raptu nyambe ni nyo kabupe kyun pongwa dang. Okay, so the Buddha's pronouncement said, lekpar, well, you should listen well, lekpar, raptu, to a high degree. Yila sung, keep it in your mind. Okay, so his pronouncement about attending a class had three components in it. And then Pabon Kumbache is gonna connect that to the three problems of the pot. Okay, here we go. Raptu nyen, listen to a high degree, listen well, lekpar nyen, means listen with while avoiding lower motivations. Don't be like problem number two. When he said listen well, he meant don't listen with a lesser motivation. Then the Buddha said, listen to a high degree. That meant don't be distracted during the class and don't think about other things, which means you are like a pot that's turned upside down, okay? Then he said, yila sung means keep it in your mind. Which one was that? It's the third one, right? So, like, don't be like a pot with a leaky bottom. Okay? Sung shi chepe. Ne shabdu watabu kyunpang de nyen ge sung. And that's the way we should receive a class. Okay. Now he begins another section, okay? If you remember, those were called gelken. Gelken means things that would prevent you from studying well. And now we're going to move on to tunken. What's tunken? Yeah, things that will help you. Okay, there are six. There are three things that could hurt your experience in a class. And then there are six things that will enhance your experience in a class. You ready? Nipa tunken ki dushe duk tembani. So there are six conceptions. They're called the six conceptions. This usage of the word conception is special, okay? It occurs, for example, in Vinaya. So if a monk is suddenly in a room with three beautiful ladies, right? And one is older and one is his own age and one is younger, right? Then he's supposed to change his conception. He's supposed to think, this one is my mother, this one is my sister, and this one is my daughter. And then supposedly it will help, you know? So, but dushe means how you conceive of a person, okay? So here, dushe, rangla nepatabu dushe, try to perceive yourself as someone who is sick, as someone who has a serious illness, okay? That's the first one. Try to perceive yourself as someone who has a serious illness. Two, dambe chula mengi dushe. See the teaching, this high dharma, as conceive of it as being medicine. Okay. That's the second one. Gewe shenyen na memba kepa tabu, tabu duche. Then your spiritual guide, you should perceive as the doctor. Okay. Memba kepa. Memba, he even said memba kepa. Memba kepa means a highly skilled doctor. Right? What do you call it? Expert doctor or?
Specialist. No.
There's bad specialists. Highly skilled, like a master physician. Sounds good. Okay, a master physician. Your serious practice of what is taught in the class will be like your treatment by the medicine, your treatment. Your serious practice of what is taught is your treatment. This one's a little tough, and we'll get to it. You should perceive the enlightened one as a high being, okay? You should have a conception of the enlightened one as a high being. And we'll get there, okay? That one doesn't seem to fit very well. How many we got?
Five.
That's five. Okay, number six. Chukitsu la ringdu nepe duche dang. And then try to conceive of the longevity, right? The long life of this system of teaching. Okay, so that's sort of an interesting, he's going off the metaphor. You would think that if you took the medicine, then you would live a long life. But he's saying, try to conceive of, if you are treated successfully, if you are successful in applying this medicine to yourself, and if you recover from your long time spiritual illnesses, then that will keep the teachings in the world. Then these teachings will stay in the world. If you have a personal challenge this week and you want to help the world at large, the best thing you can do is apply the Dharma to your problem and overcome it while you're here. You see? Because then you are helping the world at large. Why? People will look at how you dealt with your problem. They will see that you have dealt with it successfully, that you came out happier than before. And then they will want to try whatever you're doing, you know? I'll have what she's having. Do you know that thing? I love that. It's Harry and Sally. Harry met Sally? I don't know. You know the story. I told that story in China and everybody was like, I don't know. It didn't work at all. Okay. I don't know why. I have to figure that out. Okay, anyway. Duko. If you succeed in treating yourself, if you succeed in making yourself a happy person, people will ask, what the hell is he doing? You know? And they will want to know. And then you are helping the teachings live in the world. It's not that you like type in all the texts, or I mean that helps, but it's that you succeeded in making yourself a totally sane person and a happy person, and then other people will emulate you, and that keeps the teaching alive in the world. You see, your success in your own practice is the best thing you can do to keep the teachings alive in the world. It's cool, right? Okay, still we have to save all the books. I mean, they're kind of nice too. The most crucial of these conceptions is that we conceive of ourselves as someone with a serious illness. If you have the first, the rest will come automatically. Okay? If you have the first conception, the other five will come automatically. This is very interesting. What do they call that? Gen Dao. Who knows the Heart Sutra in Chinese? Anybody? Meng Xiang. Then it goes, Jia Jian Nie Ban. Yeah. So the Meng Xiang, right? That part. Does it mean dream nowadays? It can mean dream in a good sense, but in the Chinese Heart Sutra, it means Chinjilok. It's the Chinese translation of Chinjilok. Chinjilok means to have a completely wrong conception. Okay, like someone at work is trying to help you get a promotion. They're in talking to the boss about getting your promotion, and you pass the door, and you hear them say, "And Geshe and Michael," and then you hear "blah blah blah blah," and you're like, "Damn, they're trying to get me fired." That's called Chinjilok. In Mongshang, the Mongshang there means completely wrong. It means a dream in the sense of false, completely false. And then Jiajian, if you go beyond it, Nipan, you go to Nirvana. Okay? So this is the same. He says, are you trying to pretend that you're ill? Is that what I'm telling you? Am I telling you to pretend that you are seriously ill? He says, no, you are seriously ill. Okay? All right? Okay? Chinjilok, it's not a mongshang. It's not some, you're trying, it's not an illusion or a dream or something like that. He says, you won't succeed in this part of this practice if you think you are not sick and you're pretending that you're sick. Because it's not that. I guess mongshang could be pretending, right? Something like, I don't know. Like an illusion. It's not wrong that you're, it's not an illusion. It's true. We are sick. And if you don't admit it, you can't take a teaching. You will never succeed. Okay? It's not possible. Okay? Then some tantrika raises their hand and says, Geshe-la, I'm Vajrayogini. I'm not like sick. You know? And then you have to say, is it a pen or is it a chew toy? You see? Both are possible. Okay, and that's a very deep thing. And if you're into the tantric path, you have to think about that. It's a famous, what do you call those things? It's like a comb, but what is it in English? It's a famous paradox or some other word. It's like a conundrum, yeah. Anyway, it's you are both, okay? You are both at the same time. So anyway, he says, if you think that we're pretending here, it's not going to work. You gotta honestly think you have something to improve. Okay? You have to honestly think that there's some totally different way of being that you haven't got to yet. Because if you don't think that, you're not gonna get there. You have to believe that you are a lower form of evolution, okay? And that there's something much higher that you can get to. I prefer to say it that way than to say I'm sick, you know? But the point is the same. The point is, if you think you're pretty good already, if you don't have a vision of a higher way of being yourself, you can't go there, right? You have to believe that there is a state of enlightenment that is far cooler than anything you are now. And you have, otherwise you're not going to want to do it, to work to get to it. You see what I mean? So you have to start with some idea that you're not what you could be. Or you're not going to get there. Okay, even if you want to phrase it as I have to uncover who I really am, that's okay. But you're still not who you could be. Okay, and you have to uncover who you are. Okay, you can say it that. That's also okay. So it nela so do. Chinji lo to do the rang nyom mo be net sapchen. We are sick. Net sapchen means fatal disease. We have the fatal disease of nyomo. What's nyomo? Klesha, right? Your own negative emotions. Fatal disease. It will kill you. And if you've studied Tantra and you've studied the chakras and the what do you call, grantis, the knots in the body, the cause of your mortality is your negative emotions. You see? Chronically, the cause of your capacity to die, it's your negative emotions. It's your anger and your jealousy. Okay? Sapchen, we have that fatal disease. Tape ne yin. We have been struck with that fatal disease. Kamawe. Okay? So Kamawa is a scholar. I'll have to look him up. I believe I think he's a Kadamba, but I'm not sure. I'll check it. Dun la mina. If it weren't the case, then to practice that conception would be mistaken. Okay? If it weren't the case that we were struck by a fatal disease of our own negative emotions, then to pretend that we were diseased would be a problem. But we have been struck by the chongne. Say chongne. Chongne means, there's a word in English. What's a sickness that stays with you?
Chronic.
Chronic. Yeah, we have the chronic disease of the three poisons. Okay, we have a chronic disease of the three poisons. Tepne, we have been struck by the chronic disease of the three poisons. What three poisons? Wanting things in a wrong way, disliking things in a wrong way, and being stupid enough to have the wrong way. Okay, all right, so what does that mean? If you want money, that's okay. To try to get it by any means other than providing money to others is foolish. Okay, that's all. That's a wrong desire. Is it wrong to want money? No. I can do great things with money. And it's good to have. If you have a lot of money, you can do a lot of good things. And you can enjoy also. There's nothing wrong with that. That's okay. It's not wrong to be happy. You know, I don't know where that started. But to want to get money the wrong way is it doesn't work. And it makes you frustrated and you waste your life. Okay? If you want to get rich, get rich. How? Make other people rich. If you want to be healthy, do yoga, but do it after you go to the hospital and help people. Because otherwise the yoga will hurt you. Okay, that's all. If you want a nice partner, go to the nursing home and take care of someone. Be a companion for someone on a regular, dependable basis. And then you will get a regular, dependable, beautiful partner. And that's the way it goes. And that's not desire, and that's not the three poisons, okay? That's just intelligent, all right? Because, you know, there's nothing wrong with getting all the things you want, as long as you don't want guns to shoot people or something like that, okay? All right. Dushi, deshin shepala. Okay. Gomba chinti lota dode. Chongne chamba tepne. Netsap shintu chewala. Uku ki nawar yema shepa sung. We have been, this I believe is a Kadampa Geshe, but he said, yes, we have had this chronic disease all this time. Yema Shepa. Yema Shepa. Ye means at all. Ye means at all. Yeah, at all. Yeah, we just totally oblivious. That's a good translation. Yema Shepa. We were oblivious to the fact. You know, you've got cancer and you're like, have no idea. You know, you're like, girl, look at my handstand. You know, and you're gonna die next week from colon cancer or something. You know, it's like that. You're like, you're just oblivious that you have this disease. Then it gets really funny. You think that's funny. Wait till you hear the next one. Ona nepa yena rangi nawa shigopala. Then somebody raises their hand and says, but if I were sick, I would know I was sick. Deta mishepa kain nyamna. Tsawe ne shintu tuwe tse. Haven't you ever met a person who had a really bad fever? Chulne, it screwed up with their mind. Rangnepa in nyampa mepar. Not only did they not think they were sick, lu len la sopa chepa. They started singing Jimi Hendrix songs. Okay, didn't say Jimi Hendrix, but they started, you know, they started like, I'm so happy, you know. Like they got a really bad fever and they're gonna die like tomorrow, and they're like, you know, like that. Okay, so it's not true that if you're really sick that you are aware of it. Okay, say chokdebe. Oku nyomon bi ne hajan sab cheo shing. We are extremely sick. We are not just a little sick. Hajang sab chembo means fatal. You know, very virulent disease. We are struck by a very severe disease. Yun ringwe na, and it's been so long. Nawa mashe. We don't realize we're sick. We are so sick we don't realize it. Okay. So you got to maybe struggle with that tonight when you go back to your room and think, you know, struggle with that, you know. Try to examine if there's some part of you that's just totally not what it should be. You know, is there something you could have? Because without that, you can't progress in this. If you're pretty satisfied with who you are, then you're not going to make it. And it's not to say you're a bad person. It's to say you could be so much more. So don't settle for less. Be enlightened. Be better than the Dalai Lama. You know, be like somebody extraordinary. And don't sit there and stay at your current level. You don't have to. You know, if seeds are true, you can change anything. I had a Chinese guy, he came to me, Huang Jin. He said, Gizla. I said, yeah. He really believes this stuff. Like, he's one of the six people in the world. And he comes up to me and says, Gizla, can you fix my IQ? And I'm like, Jin, you're like one of the smartest people I know. And he's like, yeah, but I want to be more. You know? So I said, yeah, okay, let's go. Let's, as an experiment, let's fool around with your IQ. So he planted certain seeds for a higher IQ. Then he said, he came to me, he called me, he said, Gizla, something weird happened. I said, what? He said, I had an ancient Chinese text that I was looking at, you know? And I was going like this. And my wife asked me, I was sitting on the couch and my wife was sitting there watching TV and she said, what the hell are you doing? And I said, I'm reading the text. And she said, you're like turning a page every second. You know, this is like 2,000-year-old text. What is it? Chun Chao, Chun Chiu Chao. It's from the time of Confucius. Chun Chiu, Chun Chiu. You know, okay? And it's like reading a Chun Chiu text. This is the time of the Buddha. It's 500 BC. And he's reading it like this. And his wife said, what are you doing? He says, I don't know. Something happened. I understand it all. You know? And it's like that. Okay? You can do it. You can be more than you are. Just plant the seeds. But you can't be more if you think you're not, you know, 3% of what you could be. I'd rather think of it that way than say, oh, you're sick or something like that. You're just 3% of what you could be. So then have a little chutzpah, you know? Like, okay, I'm going to be more than that. So, Chibuta Okunyu has a student. Ona ne chik yuna serdang sumu tabu gur. But if I was sick, I would be having some extraordinary pains. You know, like Rob in the emergency ward in Seattle on the night he got the kidney stone, right? Am I right? If I was sick, I would be having some severe pain. Okay? But I haven't got that. You day, you have that. Dusumgi sersuk drapo yang dang yang du yong wa yin. You have constant anger in your mind. You have constant unfillable desires in your mind because you don't know how to plant the right seeds, right? You are constantly in pain, mentally. You're constantly frustrated. You're constantly not getting what you want. You know? That is the symptoms of a serious disease. Okay? The frustration of not getting all the things you want and being upset and being sad, and those are the kidney stone pains. Okay? Sersu Trapo Yang Yang, and you experience them all day long. I think we'll pause there. I thought what we could do is we can do Satsang Gamma, okay? Satsang Gamma, if you want. Satsang Gamma. Nowadays it got shortened to the Satsang, right? The old word is Sat. Sangama. Sat means what? Truth. Sangama came into Greek as synagogue, joining together, coming together. So this is a joining together for truth, which means, you know, I went to Sri Patavi Joyce's school one time and he was doing his Satsangama. It was very beautiful. So he just sat around at night with all his students. And they asked him questions. So if you have any questions, Let's do a little bit. Do you have? If you have any.
Yes.
For the present moment meditation.
Yeah.
When you get to the point where you put the wall in front of you, but the future is the one you're looking for the past, should you anchor on something in the present, or do you kind of just let your mind wander around the room? And that would still be something specific, but I find that I'm the most successful with it when I just stay anchored with the breath, and I watch where it wanders to, and then bring it back to the breath. I always want to have that as something to bring it back to.
I think that's fine. Did everybody hear the question okay? I think that's fine. I don't know, for me, it's just like it's the milieu of where I am. It's the room that I'm in, you know, or the people I'm with. Like when I'm present, I'm aware of the room, the lights, the camp, the people. And then I know I'm in the present. Only, I don't know, it differs for different people. You'll find a ratio. A certain amount of your thoughts are wandering to the past or future, but a certain amount of your thoughts are wandering in the present. You know, so then you got to deal with those. I think that's what you're getting at. Then you got to deal with those. Yeah, but you'll find that when you cut off the thoughts of past and future, 75% of work is finished, and that's enough to make you feel quite different. You feel like all aware and turned on and excited, and you are able to be here. And, you know, like if you're playing music, or, you know, if you try to play music and you're thinking of something else, if you try to perform music and think of something else, it's like a disaster. And if you learn to bring your mind to the present moment, it feels like you're playing music. And you just feel happy and turned on about everything. So try it between sessions. We're going to get into a thing in this text called Tun and Tun Sam. So Tun, you know from Tundruk, right? Succession. And Tun Sam means between sessions. And the goal of present moment meditation is that you learn it for the Tun. You learn it for the sessions. And then it starts to infect your Tun Sam. It starts to affect how you walk around the camp and how you drive a car and how you talk to somebody. I mean, it's really rare to be totally present when you're talking to somebody. The Dalai Lama has it. People often remark on it, that when you talk to him, he's like, he's there, and he's interested, and he's listening. And that's a nice thing. That's a really good application of the present moment, to be having a conversation with somebody and totally aware of what they're saying. So see how it infects your other activities during the day. And it's a very beautiful state of mind. By the way, traditionally, watching your breath and being in the present moment are considered preliminaries to meditation. They are not goals in themselves. It's a heightened degree of awareness. And then you have to turn that to the larger questions of life. So don't start some sect, Geshe Michael's present moment sect or something, where all you're doing is being here, you know, because then you'll get old and you'll be there, okay? All right, you gotta use it for something, okay? You gotta apply it to something. It's a kind of focus, but it's wonderful. It changes your life. I'm trying to get you to do it for at least for a few months, maybe, like at least 4 to 6 weeks. And it's like medicines. There's some medicines. We were in China, right? We went to Hangzhou. And our host, one of our hosts, was helped at a Chinese medical center. The lady who drove us in the car, she was an assistant at a Chinese medical center. And then we asked her, do young Chinese people take Chinese medicine, or do they believe in Western medicine? And she said, Western medicine. And we said, but you're working in a clinic. She says, yeah, I know, I work there, but if a young Chinese person gets sick, they just take Western medicine. And I'm like, that's weird. And she said, no, it's not. She said, Chinese medicine, you have to take before you get sick. You know, like when you start to feel something, you start on the Chinese medicine. And it's at low dosages. And it works in your blood for a month or 6 weeks. And then you don't get sick. But, you know, young people don't care about that. They're not going to eat anything until they get really sick. And then the Chinese medicine won't help. You see. So present moment meditation, if you do it daily over a month or 6 weeks, it will start to change how you view the world. And if you take less dosage than that, if you skip days, it won't do it. You see, it's interesting. It doesn't work very well. So I think these meditations are more like Chinese medicine. They're not like some Western medicine that kills your liver and cures your cough. Yeah, something like that, okay? Like that works in 3 days and you're like, yay! And then you don't have a liver anymore. So okay. All right, any other question? How do you change the IQ? Mainly teaching other people. Okay? Mainly teaching other people. So if you know Huang Jian, he took it very seriously. He started diamond cutter programs in 12 cities. He's to Singapore now. He's overseas also. And he took it very seriously. Part of the reason he did it was an exercise in increasing his IQ. And he did. It's very interesting. So that's what he did. But he took it so seriously. I mean, he went and started 12 programs in 12 Chinese cities and Singapore. And then we would say that changed his IQ. Because he was helping other people understand. But he was doing all the other four steps. He had technique. He understood the technique. He wasn't just blindly helping other people. He was applying these four steps. Okay, if you don't know the four steps, talk to somebody in DCI. Because they were so bored, they heard it so many times. Yeah.
So can you talk about the relationship between passion and discipline? And maybe how to remove obstacles for discipline and how to integrate passion and discipline?
I think nowadays I'm onto this thing where we go to so many countries and I meet thousands of new people every year. And they're very sincere. They're really turned on by it and they want to know more, you know. And they come to me with, we have a section in the DCI weekend where you spend, 2 hours in a breakout group, hour and a half a day in a breakout group of hopefully 10 people about with a single teacher. And then each person goes around and you listen to each person's, it's either a dream or a problem. You say, give me a dream or give me a problem. What's the biggest thing in your life right now? And some people say, you know, I want a new car. And some people say, my mother committed suicide last week and I'm trying to deal with it. These are real things that I got, you know? And then, the challenge is to ask people to state in a single sentence what they want. That's half the problem. That's half the, what do you call it? Yeah. Challenge. Huh?
Half the battle?
Yeah, half the battle is to get them to say in a single sentence what it is they want. And it's a struggle for a lot of us. We have a vague feeling that we don't have what we want. But then if the Wizard of Oz came along and said, I can give you whatever you want, then you're like, you know, and then, the first idea is to separate the vague desires. You know, do you want discipline or do you want creativity? Because they are separate seeds. They are different seeds. We don't believe that discipline causes creativity. We believe that seeds cause discipline and different seeds cause creativity. And you can be a disciplined, uncreative person or you can be a creative, undisciplined person. Hopefully you'd be both. You'd want to plant both.
Can I choose discipline now?
Well, that's what I'm saying. You got to choose one. And you can think carefully and choose the one which would, I call it fallout. If you succeeded at one, could you get the other one automatically? You see? And that's true. So I would go for it. If someone said you can only pick, what was that game? I don't know. They had three curtains and the woman was queen for a day and she had to say, I want curtain number one. You can't say I want one and two and, you know, say one thing, decide one thing that you want and then work on those seeds. And then there's fallout. Fallout means the discipline will come or whatever else you want will come. Partly because you're finally flowing with the Tao. You're flowing with the flow. You're going with the flow. You finally understood 道不道非常道，命可命非常命。You're finally flowing with the way the world works. You see, if you succeed in gaining one of your goals by planting seeds, by taking care of someone else who wants a similar thing, if you get the system down, then suddenly everything else is easy. You know, to get wish number 2, 3, 4, and 5 is nothing once you get number 1 by using seeds. Okay. So I would, the thing is, people's desires are so, scattered, that you have to, half the battle is decide what you want the most. Obtain that thing through using this system, the diamond cutter system. And then that will flow over to everything else in your life. Because if you get the thing you most wanted, and I have this experience, this is my own experience, if you get the thing you most wanted in your life by following this system, you will automatically continue to follow the system for other things you want. So pick one. Pick the thing you most want and go for it. It's really nice. It's really cool. Yeah, you can be anything you want, or you can have anything you want. And using this system to get the thing that you most want in the world is the best way you can help other people. And wouldn't that be the case if the system were ultimate, that using it to gain your own wishes is the kindest thing you can do for others? Isn't that cool? That's something extraordinary. That's amazing, you see? Obtaining your own happiness by serving others is the best thing you can do for the world also. So you have your cake, and you're constantly having your cake and eating it too. It's an amazing system, you know? By saving the world, you get everything you wanted. And I'm not saying metaphorically. You know, people say, oh, be noble and don't worry if you don't get a car. I don't say that. I say be noble and you will get the car and you'll save the world. And the girl. I mean, it's like Transformers. This nerdy guy, because he wants to save the world, he gets the girl and the Camaro. That's not really a Camaro, right? I mean, it's a cool system. Okay, any other question? Mr. Eddie. I'll tell you something cute, okay? Nowadays, I'm never sure what's being taped for web. But anyway, so I'm not allowed to teach religion in certain countries. But I am allowed to teach success seminars in which I teach people that if you want money, you should help someone else get money, and if you want health, you should help the sick, and then do yoga. And if you want a partner, then you should go to a nursing home and serve an elderly person. Help someone who's lonely, and that will put a seed in you that you will find a partner. You will create a partner. You know, and then you can tweak the partner. It's cool. You know, you can say, I want handsome, I want smart, I want loyal, I want affectionate, you know, I want considerate, I want a dishwasher, you know, and no, I mean, each thing has its own karmic seeds, really. You can design them consciously, right? If you grasp that system well, including the 4 steps of the technique, right? She's Sampajora Takam. If you don't know, you have to ask somebody. She's Sampajora Takam. If you grasp the system clearly, that is taking refuge. Okay? If you grasp that system clearly, that is what it is to take refuge in it. Okay? What does the word refuge mean? It's a Buddhist ceremony similar to baptism. It's what makes you a Buddhist. Okay? You take vows of refuge and you become a Buddhist. That's what makes you a Buddhist. You know, if you want to know if you're a Buddhist or not, have you taken refuge? Then there's a joke in Tibet that a monk was sitting in at Sera one day, and he looked up at the abbot and he said, he ain't a Buddhist. He's not a Buddha. And that his, you know, his friend is like, what are you talking about? He says, the abbot's not a Buddha. And they said, what do you mean? He's the abbot of Sarah. And he said, no, he doesn't have refuge. And they said, no, he has refuge. You know, he has all these pictures of Buddha in his room, and he wears Buddhist robes, you know. And they said, that's not refuge. Taking refuge means to shelter yourself, to take care of yourself, right? To go for shelter. Refuge means go for shelter. What's a classic example of refuge? Someone yells at you. Someone called Jeff Eddie, you're stupid. You know, Jeff Eddie, you did something wrong. Okay? Then, if you've studied these things, you say, this person's coming from me. I must have made an accusation to someone else in the past. And that's why this person is accusing me wrongly. Okay? So, then I shouldn't attack them, because that will what do you call it? Perpetuate the same thing. Like in this system, someone attacks you, it's wrong, they shouldn't attack you. It's false, the accusation is false. And you look at them and you say, they're coming from me because I attacked someone in the past. Now if I attack them back, what's gonna happen? Then another person's gonna attack me next week. So I choose to stop the wheel. I choose to get off. That's refuge. Why? You have protected yourself. You know, you just plopped up an umbrella. It's raining and you just did this. That's refuge. That's the meaning of refuge. Refuge is to understand where stuff is coming from. Once you understand where stuff is coming from and you use the seeds to better your life and your world, then you're a Buddhist, okay? They're more Buddhist than all these people in the Buddhist groups in the West who don't understand these things. Okay, it's interesting. It's very interesting. Between refuge and what was the other thing? Yeah, so renunciation. In the highest, to the most intelligent disciples, Lord Buddha said, what's renunciation? Give up the world of suffering. Okay? Does that mean, where is the world of suffering? Is it in Prescott? Or does it extend to Kansas? Does it reach all the way to Manhattan? If you're in, by the way, nowadays if you travel, some people say, where are you from? You don't say America, because nobody likes America. You say, I'm from Manhattan. And then they say, where's that? You say, it's an island off the coast of America. And then, so anyway, renunciation is to give up pain, right? To give up those things which cause pain. And then all these Buddhist people, they misunderstand it. Oh, I shouldn't have a nice car, you know, because then I wouldn't have renunciation. You know, I shouldn't have a nice dinner in Guadalajara in this impossible to find restaurant that has the two stories. And what was that place called? Something Durango. They serve Durango food, right? And if I eat there, I don't have renunciation. That's just bullshit. You know, renunciation means stop doing things which hurt you. Just to refuse to answer the person who attacks you is renunciation. To refuse to try to get money by cheating people. To refuse to get a partner by trying to take someone else's partner. That's renunciation. Because you are rejecting this old system. No, let me compete for my business, or let me compete for my partner, or something like that. Just relax and plant the seeds by serving someone in a nursing home. And the partner will come and they will stay. You see? That's renunciation. I reject the old way of getting a partner, like fighting on the market for a partner. I reject that. That's renunciation. That's a higher renunciation. I reject that old system. Okay? Are you going to the bar tonight to pick up a girl? No. Where are you going to get a girl? The nursing home. No, if... And it's not some new kind of fetish thing. Okay? Okay, no, what I'm saying is that... No, you laugh because it seems strange to you. You laugh because you really don't believe it. You wouldn't laugh if you understand. You'd say, of course, that makes sense. Okay. And so renunciation is to reject the old way of getting things that you would like. You know? Yeah, don't they? They come down to very similar things. Renunciation is to reject an old system which hurts you. Refuge is an understanding which protects you from the things you used to do that hurt you. So I guess they're very similar in the end. Refuge is not a ceremony that you take with some lama and they hit you on the head and you're a Buddhist. And renunciation is not this search of things that don't make you pleasant. The search of unpleasant things. The rejection of everything nice. Come on. You know, you can have a nice Mexican dinner. And if you got it through wisdom, then that's a Buddhist practice. And then everybody should have nice dinner. Why not? Okay? Yeah. Per pregundo esta.
Is there a difference between a seed that a normal person plants and a seed that an Arya plants?
Oh boy. So he's asking about Arya. Arya means, you know, Hitler took the word, it's a Sanskrit word that means superior, higher. And then in Buddhism, an Arya means someone who has perceived direct reality, ultimate reality directly, in a deep state of meditation. Then that person is called an Arya. Yeah, when they plant a seed, it's infinitely different from the seeds that other people plant. It's there's no comparison at all. Because they know, they have a direct experience that this thing works. On the highest level, and then that's all. But so what we're talking about is planting seeds through understanding, through intellectual understanding. I talk you into going to the nursing home for your next boyfriend. I talk and talk and talk and talk, and finally you go try, and it works. Okay, and then you do more. But in Arya, they have this. They perceived the guts of that system directly. And in fact, they can't happily engage in any other activity. You see? They can't, like, do the things that normal people do to get things because they just don't believe in them anymore. Because they've seen directly that they don't work. You know, to compete with other companies will get you more money. Or to hurt someone else's relationship would get you a nice boy, or, you know, like that. They just wouldn't. They are getting further and further into a world where they wouldn't consider trying those things because they don't work. Okay, but that's all. Their evolution is much faster, and their world changes much faster. So you got to try to see emptiness directly. Okay, that's it. That's it. The meditation will help. The present moment meditation will help. But also intellectually struggling with these ideas. You know, the nursing home thing. Just the nursing home thing. Struggle with it. And then try it. And then they call Shrawa. You ready? You ready for Shrawa? Here you go. Okay? That's called Shrawa. The fabric of reality is torn. You go to the nursing home. You try it. You get a really nice boy, and then shrawa, the fabric of your old reality is forever torn, and you can't go back. You will never go back. Okay? You won't engage in the normal things that people do to get things because they don't work, and you can't go back after that. You know? So the intellectual struggle, which is what classes are all about. What do you call it? Triggers the direct perception of reality also. So you have to be struggling through the ideas in classes, and you have to be meditating and doing your yoga. And then and serving people, and serving your teacher, five things maybe. It's a very powerful cocktail, spiritual cocktail. And then you make this breakthrough. You see emptiness directly, okay? I'm going to go back to the text because I want to leave that at that. Okay? Well, just to do a little more text. We have to struggle through because we have like 20 more minutes. I know you're tired. I know I should have given you a break. And I'm a bad person. Okay. He was describing how we are in kidney stone pain spiritually, but we don't know it. All right, got it? Here we go. Gopala Damon Duknyam. Dejitayin Yamna. Well, can you give me an example of how I'm in the throes of a violent agony and I don't know it? Right? That's what. Okay. Berna Tromtabar Chine. If you go to the mall, he said Trom. Trom means open market in Tibet, okay? Which is probably three stalls with a bunch of old yak cheese in it. You see something you like. You see something pretty that you like. But you don't have enough money to buy it. When you get back to your home, and you think, damn, I really wanted that thing. Okay? Yi mi de kam kam yongwa. Say kam kam. Yi mi de. Kam kam. You have this like, kam kam means like when you have a headache and it's kind of like, it's not a sharp headache. It's a dull, long headache. A dull whole day headache. It's not like a migraine. It's just like, you know, like that all day. It's not a 100% headache yet. It's just like really uncomfortable. So you get this dissatisfaction coming up in your heart. You're like, yeah, I really wanted that. Me de kam kam yong de duchak is ser gyabayin. Then desire has struck you. You are in the throes of desire. I don't buy it. I don't buy this sentence. Okay? I just don't buy it. Right? I don't think that's the problem. The problem is not that we want things. There has to be an element of ignorance. That's why in the middle of the wheel of life, there's not two creatures, there's three. What are they? There's a rooster, which used to be a pigeon in the old days, because they're kind of frisky. And then there's a snake, which represents anger. And then there's a pig. And they all have their mouth on each other's tails. And in the ancient painting, the pig's mouth should be the tails of both the pigeon and the snake. In the new paintings, they made it a circle, which is not as good. Why? That represents desire and anger, but based in ignorance. You see, if you went to the store and saw something that you liked and didn't have enough money to buy it, and you understood this system, then you would try as hard as you could to make sure somebody else got that thing. And that would be a legal and appropriate way to acquire that thing. And that's not desire. And that's not in the wheel of life. That's not samsara. Okay? So I think this kind of wording is very dangerous. Because then people can get into this thing like, I shouldn't like things at the store. You know, what's okay to like and what's not okay to like? You know, I kind of wanted a Volkswagen. Is that wrong, Geshla? You know, I understand a Mercedes is wrong, but is a Volkswagen wrong? You know, and then, no, it's all mistaken thinking. Okay? It's not wrong to want things. It's wrong to try to acquire them by the wrong way because you can't. And it will frustrate you. And you'll get angry and you'll get old and you'll die. You know? To acquire things by serving others is fine. That's not desire and that's not samsara. Okay? It's not wrong to have a pleasant dinner. It's wrong to take a dinner and refuse someone else a dinner. Okay? You see the difference? Okay. All right. The other thing is just frustrating, you know, like how. Then you get these guilt complexes, you know, like, I kind of wanted to wear a nice dress today. Can I still be a Buddhist? You know, like, I wanted to look good today. Is that wrong? Geshe-la, is that wrong? Am I a bad person? I don't think so. Look at what Tara wears. Okay. Signen tubatabu yidu mi onwa pong tu jambatsokte. Then somebody says something bad to you and you feel bad all day, then you are suffering. Your mind is suffering. Right? That part I buy. As long as it's a person who realizes that the reason they heard somebody say something bad to them was something that they did before. Okay? Come, dupa misapitabu chuan. Then you have been struck in the agonizing throes of anger. The snake. They shindu ngagya ban chokto la sopa shiptu chudang sani drapo sukawa yang yang onwa. If you examine your feelings of pride, and if you examine your feelings of jealousy, etc., closely, it will be revealed to you that these are like kidney stone pains in the mind, to the mind. Okay? Like they are ruining your peace of mind in the way that a kidney stone ruins your physical feeling of well-being, right? They are as serious as a kidney stone. They are mental kidney stones. He's trying to say, try to realize you are having mental kidney stones all the time, and you've suffered so long and hard that you don't even realize you're suffering because you've never known anything else. You've never had a time when you didn't have them. And if there ever came a time when you didn't have them, you would know. It'd be like having a kidney, being born with a kidney stone. And thinking that's how everybody feels all the time. And then somebody takes it out. And you're like, wow. Okay, so we're like that. We never didn't have those negative emotions. So we don't know what it's like to be happy. We just don't, we don't know we're suffering because we don't know what it's like to be happy. Yang yang deyin. Dena duchaki ne shedangi ne chadogi ne so ne mangbutapayin. It's not just that we have a single illness, we have multiple illnesses. We have jealousy illness, desire illness, anger illness, etc. It'll be easy today. It's going to get harder. Be tough this week, okay? You can't get this anywhere. And it's precious. And just tough it out, okay? So your butt hurts. And you're going to change the universe. It's okay. Okay. Tamilki ne nachik tsamlang jipache guna. If it's proper to be concerned about a regular physical illness, a single physical illness, nyomongi ne na mambo de tsamgitabla chite jipa chemi gode, then why wouldn't you have to be concerned about multiple serious chronic mental illnesses that we all have? You know, if you're very concerned about getting one physical illness, shouldn't you be equally concerned about having a manifold of mental illnesses, spiritual illnesses? Okay. Gona nyomo bi ne hono kono na. Chunjugle. What's chunju? Yeah. Bodhisattva Charya Amatara. Okay. In Tibetan, it's called chunju. Chunju sampe chupa na dupa. Tamil neki tapa yang membe ngakshin cha guna de cha loso nye gya yi neki tak tap me chigo. That's a translation, and it came out pretty good. It's got a beat, right? Tama neki tapa yang. If you are struck by a normal physical disease, membe ngashin jaguna, you have to listen to what the doctor prescribes. You have to follow the doctor's orders. Docha laso nyegayi, we have been struck by the 100 diseases of ignorant desire, etc. Okay? Why do I say ignorant? In the case of a boyfriend, it would be ignorant to hurt someone else's relationship to get a boyfriend. That's ignorant desire. What about a person who wants a boyfriend and goes to the nursing home to keep a lonely person company and gets a boyfriend that way? It's desire, but it's not ignorant desire, okay? And it's good. It's a cool desire. Okay, intelligent desire. Okay. Tate, where are you? Ducha lasa nyegai. We have been struck by 1,000 different spiritual diseases. Neki taktap. Taktap means forever, since forever. we've been struck by those diseases, mucigo, then you then of course you should what? It just ends with, of course you should listen to the doctor, right? He's drawing a parallel. Listen to the doctor. Chigo, shesu. Dayang, we're almost done, okay? We almost got to conception number 2 of the 6. We're still on number 1. We try to talk ourselves into believing that we could be 97% more than we are. Okay, I prefer not to think of it as you're diseased or something. You just got, there's so much more you could be. Okay. She said, Deyang rangren ne ki narte dawari ni tabu yunring sam songna shindu ji guna. If you get a normal physical disease and it doesn't go away for a month or two, or a yoga injury or something like that, then you start to worry, right? You think, maybe my shoulder's screwed up forever. Or, you know, maybe my hip's going to pop out forever. Or maybe that cough will never go away. Okay, like that. Then we start to get concerned, right? For a month or two. You have had your spiritual illnesses for time with no beginning. You have had these spiritual illnesses for time with no beginning. This is not your first life. Come on, don't be naive. Anything that can happen once, in a what do you call it? Situation of infinite odds, infinite time. Of course it can happen again. You don't even have to believe in rebirth. You don't have to go through all the, what is it, Chandrakirti arguments for rebirth. You don't need to do all that. It's just the odds. You know, if you roll a dice a billion times, you're going to get 12 more than once. And time is longer than that. Okay? Of course you come again. Of course you're going to have other lives. Of course you've had infinite numbers of lives already. And in each of those lives, we had the same diseases. What diseases? Tried to get a boyfriend by breaking up someone else's relationship. Okay? Tried to get money by sneaking on our taxes or something. Just ignorant ways of doing things. And we've always done that. Okay? I like to tell people, boy, this is a good subject in China or Ukraine. Pay extra taxes. The government will distribute them to everybody. Can you imagine how much karmic seeds you're planting? And then they're like, yeah. Okay. But they got it, right? In Kiev, everybody got it. They were really happy. They felt liberated, I think. All these businessmen wanted to pay more taxes. There's 1 9-mile highway in all of the Ukraine. Ukraine, by landmass, is the largest country in Europe. The politicians steal all the money. Oh, openly, blatantly. And they were so happy to hear that they should pay more taxes. Okay, anyway. No, really, they felt such a wave of relief went through their room that someone empowered them not to be dishonest, you know, and they were like, damn, I'm going to pay rent, you know, it's cool. Okay, anyway, I don't know how we got on that. Kowale matarwar chakawe dena geshipotoa. So geshipotoa, recognizing this serious disease that we've all had for time with no beginning, said, sudu mepe nepa. He had an expression. Say sudu mepe nepa. Leptu mepe drimbo. This has got to be a name for an album, I think. I got to do it carefully. The patient who never recovers. The guest who never arrives. He would just say that to describe the human condition. It's very sad. It's a very striking thing, you know. The patient who never recovers, the guest who never arrives. Okay. It's very, very sad. He used to say that. Deng omarangyan means ain't it the truth? That's Papa Nkrumah saying, ain't it the truth? Ain't that the way it is? Omarangyan. Okay. I think we stopped there. Let's do 6 more minutes. Okay, just remember I went through 30 years of sitting there, dreaming of the day. I could do it to other people. Yeah. Okay, all right. No, you're talking like 110 degrees in the monastery and it's raining for 3 months and Everyone's got dysentery. Okay, here we go. Nipa dambe chula mengi dushe kipani. Conception number two, think of the holy dharma as the medicine. Nepa ne ki narwa shena manshik sul gupatar. Once a person with an illness has become aware that they have the illness, which is supposedly what we just finished. Now we're aware. I could be more than I am, much more. 9,000% more than I am. I could be. Okay. Once you're aware of that, menshik tsul gupa, then you have to go looking for a medicine, right? Then you should go looking for a medicine. Then what's the medicine which will cure our spiritual illnesses? Dampe chokonayin. It's only this system of teaching, okay? Only this system of teaching. You can call it diamond cutter principles or something like that. The idea that you should go to the nursing home to get a boyfriend. The idea that you should pay extra taxes if you want your return on investment to rise next year. Okay? Mm-hmm. So gursung, okay? Therefore, we must seek the Dharma, okay? We must seek more teaching. Okay, I think we stopped there. The next, he didn't apparently think that needed much explanation. So now he's going to go on to the third one, which is thinking of your teacher as a master physician. Okay? And we'll start that tomorrow. So please be very sensitive tonight. It's hard to sleep with other people in the room when you're not used to it. And, you know, just be very, very sensitive to the other people. And try to keep your room neat, okay? That helps your meditation, okay? Some people walk through a room and they just drop things. And then if they walk two or three times through the room, there's like these trails of stuff. And don't just put everything away in your suitcase, and the room should look, how do you say? Something like happy or something, I don't know, clean. I don't mean clean, what do I mean? Well, I don't know, like a Zen garden or something. Like a Zen garden, it should look nice. It should look beautiful, like a church. There shouldn't be junk everywhere, okay? So be sensitive to that. And just be very sensitive to the other people. Somebody needs to shower, don't stay in the shower for an hour. You know, dry off quickly, get out. Somebody needs the bathroom, trust me, okay? So just be very, very thoughtful. Okay, it's going to be hard. And then tough it out, okay? You're here. It's very precious. You're learning something you can't get anywhere else. And treasure the time and enjoy the time. Have a good time, okay? Because what you're learning here, you can help thousands of people. You personally can help thousands of people. Just put up with the time it takes to get the goods, all right? And then you're free. I don't care. You don't have to join anything. Just go spread it like a virus and send me a postcard from time to time. You know, okay? I don't, just, you know, like in Guadalajara, they're having so much fun. They're like unbelievable what they're doing in Guadalajara. You know, it's just awesome. And they just decided one day to do it. And I don't know. It's so beautiful. We came out of the airport and we heard this huge crowd of people like happy and cheering and yelling and talking. And I was like, there must have been some Brazilian soccer player on the plane, you know? And we came out and it was their group. And they were just having fun in the airport. And you could hear it and feel it from the other side. And you couldn't see them, right? And they did it, you know. You can do that. You can create that kind of happiness among people. It was very striking, right? We thought it was like some holiday, some national holiday or something. It was just their group. Okay, so you can make a lot of people happy with what you learn here. So think about that and work hard. You have to work hard. When you talk with other people, talk about this stuff, okay? All right. You ready, Alejandro? Bhagi Jarshi Have a good sleep.